Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth with your host, Diane Helbig. Diane is a leading small business development and leadership coach, author, and speaker who is passionate about sharing valuable ideas, tips, and techniques with business professionals worldwide. Diane brings you the world's experts and gurus in all things business, whether it's sales, structure, social media, planning, or plateauing, guests bring their expertise and energy to each episode. When growing your business is your focus, Accelerate Your Business Growth is the show to listen to. Got a topic or guest suggestion? Let Diane know. The goal is to make sure you have the information you need to move your business forward. Thanks for joining us. Settle in and enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Today's podcast is sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/businessgrowth. Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast is enjoying inclusion on lists of the best podcasts to listen to. We continue to gain recognition as a great resource for small business entrepreneurs and sales professionals. From Inc.com to MSNBC's Your Business, Fit Small Business, Proven, People First, a whole bunch of other sites, they are really recognizing this podcast for what it is, which is a resource for businesses to do better things. That's because of the guests who come on. They share their expertise and their time to make sure that you folks have the information that you need. Today, we have someone just like that with us. My guest today is Stefan Pretty. Stefan is a Scottish tech entrepreneur currently residing in Los Angeles. He's given birth to 5 different businesses since the age of 18. His current brainchild, Subly, has grown to be a 6-figure business in less than 2.5 years, while staying entirely bootstrapped. Stefan is passionate about helping people succeed, doing more with less, and rock and roll. Thank you so much for joining me, Stefan.
Thanks very much for having me, Diane.
I am so excited to have you here because I think it's so interesting to me that how much and how quickly your company has grown and that it was entirely bootstrapped. So I'm curious, like what I'd really like you to talk about is why you think it's always better for people to rely on their own resources.
Okay, very good question. First of all, I wouldn't say it was that fast, but that's me going through the actual grind itself. It always, you know, you're always looking for bigger and better at the end of the day. So, but I appreciate that. That's a nice compliment. So thank you. But with regards to why I think bootstrapping is better in using your own resources, it's a multifaceted answer. The main one actually is quite surprising. I think that it's to do with the fact that when you're forcing yourself to be resourceful, you behave differently, especially when you're making decisions. So when you're, you know, starting out with your business, say you raised a bunch of capital, and I see this all around me all the time. If you raised, say, $1 million just for the purpose of the conversation, you're going to spend that $1 million in the same amount of time if you had $2 million or $500,000. And that means that you're going to make different decisions as well. Obviously, you're making different decisions if you're spending that much money. And you may delude yourself to believe that after spending X number of dollars or pounds or insert currency here, that you're going to be in a profitable position, which isn't always the case, which means you end up chasing your tail a little bit and having to, you know, raise the next round of financing. Now, I'm not saying that it's not the right way to do it. At the end of the day, it's different, you know, different for everybody. But I think a big part of it as well for me is I like difficult things. And and I think also there's some additional credibility that comes from being extremely resourceful. You know, I'm lucky. I know how to program and I know how to do design, or a basic subset of those skills, you know, jack of all trades and all that jazz. But I think it makes you more sensible in the decisions that you make moving forward as well. So say you did raise money later, I think you're going to be more resourceful with that money as well.
I think that is such a great point. I it's interesting when you said how you make decisions is different, and I could picture that. That when it's your money, you're potentially going to make maybe more discriminating decisions than if all of a sudden you have this huge pool of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, if you're looking at, say you're reviewing hiring staff, or you're looking to choose a tool that's going to benefit your business, and you're comparing one versus the other, you're going to factor in that cash flow, because cash flow is the oxygen and the you know, of your company. It's 100% necessary to have cash flow, especially if you're bootstrapped. So it makes you more savvy. And I think the word that gets thrown around a lot, scrappy, which I think is cool, actually. I think it's a nice way of being. I mean, if you've seen our branding, it's rock and roll kind of. It's like there's an element of rock in there. And I, when I was younger, I used to love, you know, rock music and playing guitar. And I still do love rock music, actually. And I think a bit of it's a bit of rebellion, you know, the whole system of raising capital and scaling up stupid rates and all this stuff. It's a lot of it's BS, actually. And also I like to be a bit of a rebel, so I think there's a component involved there.
It's really, I really love this concept, because it also, I guess for me, I feel like it, you're potentially in greater control, because you don't necessarily feel like you have to make decisions, right? That for the other person. But also, the money isn't coming in as quickly, so you have to be more careful.
Absolutely. In fact, you know what? I would almost, dare I say it, you're almost forced to be better. You know, there's always going to be competitors at the end of the day. There's always going to be a competitor appearing, or who already exists. And therefore, when you've not got loads of cash in the bank, you're not going to rest on your laurels. Let's just say that. You're going to be trying to make the best product you possibly can. You're going to try and, you know, make better relationships with your customers, because every dollar counts. And I think it actually does force you to up your game, which is another byproduct of it. And you mentioned a really good point there, the control aspect. I think all entrepreneurs are to a degree control freaks. But and I think, you know, one of my mentors back in the day, he said, equity is everything. And this guy was very successful, and it seared into my brain at the young age I was at. And I think I really took that quite seriously. And, you know, there's that component as well, that you don't have to give up equity. You know, there's two trains of thought. You could have let's just put hypotheticals out there. You could have a 100% of a $10 million business, or you could have 1% of a $100 million business. And they're, you know, effectively the same. And one comes with a lot more stresses. You've got investors to answer to. They're looking for $1 billion, you know, and, you know, both are the same thing at the end of the day. When it comes down to it, if what you're caring about is your lifestyle and, you know, leaving something, a legacy behind for your, you know, your family, et cetera, then they're effectively the same thing. I mean, there are obviously there's other sides to it as well, though. You know, if you've got $100 million business, then you've got the glory and the fame as well.
Well, that's true. of course, then you have everything else that goes along with that, potentially, exactly. Right? A lot more eyes paying attention to you. Yeah.
I'd also just add in there, though, the bootstrapping is a very difficult path to take. It's a rough road. And I think that although you do have problems and troubles and headaches from raising capital, you're going to experience a whole different set of issues and challenges. And I would say character building challenges if you bootstrap. So just to make that clear to any listeners here.
I think that's really important. And thank you for that, because it can sound like it's really, there's glory and it's a little romantic and it can really be a grind. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a grind. I can tell. I can vouch for it.
Firsthand, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So let's talk about the customer a little bit, and about the importance of putting the customer first.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I think in today's day and age, there is no avoiding giving above and beyond customer service. I think, you know, for a business like us, the customer is the product at the end of the day. And I think that's the same for majority of businesses. You know, you've got a lot of business to business, service-based businesses like agencies, for example, but even still, it's all about relationships. And, I think customer service is, the expectations of customers is ever increasing. You know, when guys like Zappos and Amazon paved the way with amazing customer service, it was revolutionary. Now people expect it because these companies have grown to such a point where everybody's using them and everybody now expects that level of service. So there's no avoiding it, to be honest with you. And I think if you're, you know, considering starting a business, do not ignore your customer support. It is so important.
It can really make or break a business, for sure.
Oh, 100%. You know, reputation is a massive component of a business, you know, and therefore you should put your customer front and center. Like, I always recall and think back to the days where I was literally doing almost everything myself, and not that that's changed too much. But back in the day when, you know, I was doing customer support, and I was neglecting it because I was spread too thin, and I used to get, you know, I'm quite a passionate person, and I used to get too emotionally attached to the product. And, you know, we would get feedback from customers about the product and it would just destroy me. So you have to bear that in mind as well as a founder or an entrepreneur, that, you know, if you are having a hard time with customer support and you want to do it yourself, then maybe you have to put mechanisms in place to like allow you to manage it better and actually handle the emotional aspect of it better.
Yeah.
So I guess that's like a word of advice. Like, you know, I would consider hiring somebody even part-time just to mitigate it a little bit for yourself. But yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I look back at how poor our customer support was back then and compare it to now, like it's one of our biggest, you know, call it a selling point, but yeah, customer support, put the customer front and center at all times. They're the star of the show.
Yeah, I like that way of looking at it too, because I think people, they hear customer service and there's like a baseline expectation anymore of customer service, but companies really need to be upping that game and they really need to be putting that customer front and center, and all like the decisions that they make should be around how is the customer going to experience this, whatever.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it just telegraphs what they're thinking.
Yeah. And you know, that spreads quickly. Like people share this stuff and that's where the word of mouth component actually kicks in. But another thing as well to mention there is that, yeah, actually it's gone. The thought's gone.
Okay. Sorry. It'll come back.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Just don't think about it and it'll come back. And
that's the key to that.
So you had just mentioned about, you know, how hard it is when you're the founder. It's like, this is your baby. And so sometimes it's hard to hear feedback or input that may not be how beautiful your baby is. But so let's talk some about motivation, because for some people, it's hard to keep motivated every day. And I would think, especially if you're getting feedback that isn't fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've definitely been through the ringer on this one. You know, the ironic thing is, you're saying there, like, you know, receiving critical feedback or negative feedback is hard to hear, especially when you know, it is your baby. But I think another component as well is that actually, usually, I think the founder or the entrepreneur involved is going to be the biggest critic themselves. You know, I look back at our version 0.1 or whatever you want to call it. It was embarrassing. Let's just say that it was really embarrassing. And I am the biggest critic inside our business. And it's really difficult because, you know, as a perfectionist, you just have to like constantly tell yourself, like, we're working towards perfection. And also, you know, we're just having to like forgive ourselves a little bit as well. There's a bit of a, yeah, you know, it's okay. It's not perfect. As long as we get it out there and it benefits the customer at the end of the day, and that these improvements that we're making, we roll them out quicker rather than polishing it to absolute perfection and delaying the benefit to the customer. So there's that component as well. But I think in terms of the motivation aspect, I can recall a story I can tell you here. So when I was the first year I came to California, I'm referring back to the same period of time actually where I was doing all the customer support, and it was, you know, getting put down every day basically. And at one point I was like, I was done with it. I was so miserable. And I'm sitting on this wall with a good friend of mine. His name's Franklin. And, I basically hit this moment of like delirium, like hilarity. I was laughing because I was like, I can't believe it that, you know, I went from basically like being in tears to crying. Like, it was nuts. And I was like, you know, I used to run a digital marketing agency, and I was dealing with people, and I thought, you know, moving on to software would be easier because you don't really have to deal with people. Well, I was 100% wrong, and that's when I started laughing. And it was just kind of like that moment. And then I was telling him about how a customer had emailed us, and this customer had taken lots of time to like explain why he thought it was really cool what we were doing. And in that email, he said, you know, it's really amazing. You're helping businesses start and launch, and that's so cool. And I, just the mere fact that I was sharing this with my friend, he turned around to me and said, it seems like that's really important to you. And I was like, I think you might be right. I was like, I think there's something there. And he was like, yeah, you need to remember that. That's what you're actually doing. And that kind of like tied back to this whole concept of knowing your why. So know your why. That'll keep you motivated.
That'll keep you motivated, right. And remembering that things like that, when like one of the things that I say to my clients is, remember when you did this thing successfully. It might not have been in the same realm, but you accomplished, you know, go back and think about those accomplishments, because you do things, you are successful at things. So whenever you're feeling like maybe you're not being, you have to hang on to that you can, you have in the past, and you will again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I really like this thing about that you're working toward perfection, because I hear a lot of business owners get so stuck in perfection that they never get the product or service out of the gate. Yeah.
Done is better than perfect, as they say.
Exactly. So true.
Yeah,
okay.
I struggle with that.
Go ahead. You struggle with that? I think everybody does.
Yeah.
It's sort of a occupational hazard, I think, for entrepreneurs.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So if we have somebody listening who is has an idea and they're trying to figure out, you know, how to turn it into a business, are there steps that you think they should be taking in order to be able to make that happen?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody has an idea at the end of the day. And the difference between having an idea and making it a reality is actually actioning it or you know, stepping towards it and executing. I've always said that, you know, ideas are cheap and execution is expensive. You know, and I'm talking from experience. When I was younger, you know, young, like in my teens, I used to come up with ideas all the time, and I would get excited about them. And that in itself is an addictive process. Until you actually make a commitment and take an action, you're not really going to do anything. So one of the things I used to do when I was a, this is simple actually, when I was a student, so very tight on money, I would buy the domain name, right? Now, to me, that £8 or whatever it was at the time was a significant investment, right? Now, by simply investing and buying that domain, I put myself in a corner to actually have to follow through with it. So I guess if you're looking to start a business and you've got this idea burning inside of you, then take a step towards it by making an investment. It will force yourself to action it because you don't want to waste that money. That's one approach. The other thing I would say is, in terms of actually starting the business successfully, there's a book by Eric Ries called The Lean Startup. Uh-huh. I would recommend reading at least the first half to three quarters of the book. It is worth it. Basically, the idea is this. So you want to validate your assumptions. So your assumption is, when you have an idea, that, you know, I want to, you know, I believe that people want this product, right? That's the simple assumption. You want to validate that assumption before you start investing lots of capital or lots of time into building it without knowing whether or not the customers actually want it, your target demographic. So the first thing that you could do is ask those people. It sounds very simple. Ask those people, you know, do you want this? So maybe starting conversations and getting feedback. Or another nice way of doing it is creating a landing page, for example, with a button on there, and just track the number of people that click that button. So it could say sign up now or something like that. And your landing page could be created for, you know, free or next to nothing, or, you know, yeah, on all, there's a bunch of tools out there to do this. And then just run $100 on Facebook with, like, nice specific, and I need to make this clear, specific targeting for the exact customer persona that you're going for. And then you'll quickly find out whether or not there's some demand for your product. Then you take it to the next level, you know, and you just iterate it. And that's called this lean principle of, like, validating your assumptions and iterating quickly. So that's probably my main piece of advice.
I think that's really great. And I agree with you. It's a great book, because the concept and the philosophy is absolutely put it out there, find out if people want it and what they want about it. Mm-hmm. So that then you spend the money making sure that that's what you're delivering, instead of spending all that money and creating something that nobody wants.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I tell you how I learned this the hard way. I'm bringing out all the anecdotes today.
That's great.
I don't normally do this, but here we go. I think I must have been 22, and I was actually consulting an online e-commerce store. They were doing prescription eyewear. It was great working there, really great experience. And, you know, I on the side, I'd been working round the clock. I had this idea. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I was like a mad professor. I had paper everywhere with how I'm going to achieve this, you know, geospatial calculations and all this stuff, and how I was going to do the coding for it. It was great. I was obsessed with it. This idea was the one, this idea was going to make me the next Mark Zuckerberg. and I basically, you know, I built it over 5 months. I was locking myself away. And the moment I got home from this consulting position I had, I would, code and code and code and code until like 5 a.m. in the morning. And my girlfriend at the time, honestly, she was an angel putting up with this. You know, and I basically coded until 5 a.m. every morning, and I'd be up again at like 8 in the morning to go to the job. It was
wow.
Madness. Yeah, I was
madness. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So one day I was like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to show my really close friend this. I'd already showed the person I was consulting for, and he was like, yeah, this is cool. And, you know, that was it. But yeah. I showed one of my close friends, and he went, uh-huh. This is like Twitter combined with Facebook combined with, and the way he said it, my heart sank. It just dropped and hit the ground. I was like, oh my days, I've just wasted 5 months. And, I should have shown somebody this before or shared the idea. And I got all secretive with it and protective, like, this is my idea. I don't want anybody else to steal it. And this, right. The idea was very simple. It was a social network in an anonymous sense. So basically, like, the anonymity of Twitter combined with, geospatial, like, geolocation-based components. So it was like you could basically have conversations with people nearby you. Now, this was quite current and ahead of its time as well at the same time. And in hindsight, it was still a good idea, but it could never have competed with, like, Foursquare, for example.
Yeah.
So I just wish I had actually shared it with other people. And also, I gave up straight away with one person's negative feedback. I gave up immediately.
Ah, yeah, right.
There's that side of it as well. So don't just ask one person and set out a boundary for yourself and actually say, okay, I'm not ask out 10 people and then take the feedback from all 10 people instead of just taking the, some one close friend's valued opinion, because it doesn't mean they know either. They don't know.
Exactly. Oh, that is awesome. I have to take a quick sponsor break and then I have some more questions for you.
Absolutely.
Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. If you sign up at our link, which is audibletrial.com/businessgrowth, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. Some examples of books you can listen to on audible.com are 80/20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall and The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. So visit audibletrial.com/businessgrowth, explore the books that are of interest to you, and receive one free audiobook when you sign up for the trial. Today we're talking with Stefan Pretty about the realities of business startup and ownership. So let's talk some about multicultural differences and I'll call them territorial differences in the startup world today, because I think those can feel challenging for some people.
Yeah, this is extremely current right now, actually. This has literally been the topic of conversation for the last 3 days for me and my friends. But also today, as I woke up, I had messages from my head of customer support. And basically, there's a bit of a storm going on. So there's a couple of communities on Facebook, and we run one of them for subscription box entrepreneurs. And there Stripe's got very specific rules on what kind of businesses are not allowed on their platform to process payments.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And one of a customer had been rejected due to the nature of their business. Now, I don't know the absolute specifics, so I'm not going to claim I know the ins and outs of it all, but it's created a bit of a conversational topic on discrimination. So that seems to be going on at the moment. And in fact, we've so far lost a couple of customers due to this. And it's just really interesting to see the dynamic of how society is evolving in general, and the impact that has on business as well. In terms of the multicultural aspect though, like business is done differently in every country as well. So, I'm from the UK, I'm from Scotland, and we're quite similar to the US, but there definitely are differences. And, me being based here, we're a remote team. So we have the advantage and the edge that we have people in Europe and we have people in Southeast Asia and here as well in the US myself. So it's kind of given us an edge in that sense, because we understand how business works in all different areas of the world. But yeah, it's definitely, we're in interesting times, It's so easy to travel. It's, everybody's a digital nomad now as well. It's a hot topic.
It's interesting for me because I think sometimes we assume that everyone else does business the way we do and they don't, right? And it's a great opportunity to learn about other cultures and how they do things and what matters to them. And there can be great collaboration if people really listen, and you know, maybe you pick out all, what's good about all those different systems and try and implement them. But I can see it being challenging at the exact same time.
Yes, yes, it's you're right. There's advantages, and we can learn from it and implement, you know, the things that work for us as companies or individuals. And that may benefit everybody as well. But at the same time, it does make it challenging, you know, because you have to navigate those waters.
Yeah.
And it's not even just, it's funny because I think in life, we think about it in a personal sense, first and foremost. So like, you know, how do people interact with one another? You know, there's all these movements taking place at the moment, and we don't realize that these actually do boil down to and have an impact on businesses as well. We kind of treat them as separate entities, but they're actually very weaved into the lives that we live every day.
Oh, that's interesting. That I agree with you. That is, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. You know, this is a...
You can say that.
Hang on.
It's a whirlwind right now, and it's kind of like,
it's
a little bit stressful, and at the same time, it's very interesting. So it's like, you know, what's next? Are we, you know, the waves change direction every couple of, you know, days, and you'll see something crop up, and it's, you know, there's a massive big landslide, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's the next thing. And I think it's just the statement I made the other day was to one of my friends was, society is very confused right now.
Yes. That's a great way of putting it. Society's very confused. Yeah. For me, it's not that confusing, but it could be because I'm pretty much a simple thinker. So maybe this is all easy for me. You know, you do good, you do right, you know, legal, ethical, moral, you can't go wrong.
This is true.
So, but I do want to shift a little because you mentioned before about how you guys are a remote team. And I think in this day and age, more and more companies are realizing the value of operating remotely, that, you know, they can really get more done and harness more talent if they can look at things remotely. But I'm wondering if you could provide what you think are some best practices on running a remote team.
Ooh, good question. I think, I guess if you're the manager or the, you know, the person in charge of the actual running of the remote team and coordination, you need to be very strict with your bedtime. I know this sounds simple, but I'm a night owl, right? And if given the opportunity or I'm in the zone, I will stay up until 5 a.m. And that works with a remote team very nicely. However, you also have to consider your health and respect your own personal boundaries. So and that's difficult, especially as a founder. You're so passionate about your business, your baby. You want to spend all your time on it. Literally, that's all you think about. And, you know, for me, like, you have to be strict and say, okay, look, I'm going to bed now because I need to be rested and be able to perform tomorrow, because you also have to work in the real world. So time zones are probably one of the hardest things you'll deal with. And it's funny that we all travel now, and there's all, you know, digital nomads, as I mentioned earlier, is such a popular, you know, way of living, being one. And time zones are still really quite challenging. They're quite confusing. They mess your circadian rhythms up and all sorts. So I would say that setting our parameters for everybody to make sure that it's crystal clear at what times you'll be available, and also setting your own boundaries. So like, for example, if you've got notifications, and you can tell them, you know, tell your phone or your computer, don't ping me during these hours. Like, I would set up a structure for yourself, because it's very easy to lose that structure in a remote team.
I think that's a great point. And time zones are confusing, and they get more confusing when we do daylight savings. Then I always it's a good thing they have those websites that you can go to and do the conversion thing. Yeah,
totally. There's a great app that I use called World Clock Pro on Mac. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know. It just makes it so much easier. So tell my listeners about Subly, because you mentioned BizBox, right? Is that what I heard you say?
Subscription boxes.
Subscription boxes. Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
It's okay.
So tell us what this is and how it helps and what it does for businesses and startups and things.
Absolutely. So I'll actually might as well explain this, a little bit of the background story. So I used to run a digital marketing agency, and I had a meeting with a prospect, and they wanted to start a subscription box. Now, what a subscription box is basically you receive, as a customer, you receive the products on every month or every quarter, depending on what your billing cycle is. And sometimes you know what's going to be in the box, sometimes you don't. So there's two different main types of subscription boxes. Now, subscription boxes are very, very popular, and they're growing in popularity, actually, quite rapidly. More than I actually thought myself, actually, when I first stumbled across them. So, you know, there's some big names out there that I'm just going to mention that might people might know. You've got like Gray's Box in the UK, Dollar Shave Club in the US, Birchbox, etc. So all these are subscription box businesses, or the technical term is a continuity model. Now, subscription is growing in popularity across the board in all business models, not just e-commerce, also, you know, through services like Netflix and Spotify, etc. So anyway, in this meeting, they wanted the client prospect wanted to start a subscription box business for like a detox, like pressed juice, you know, like a program, like, you know, you take this juice for 30 days and then it was like a subscription model for that. And at the time, there was nothing really on the market that we could use to make this affordable within their budget. So that's when I had that kind of light bulb moment to start creating a solution for it, because I saw the opportunity and realized that these were popular. You know, I had been a subscriber of Gray's Box myself in the UK. So, yeah, I think that kind of gives like a nutshell of how we started and then also what a subscription box is. But yeah, basically what Subly does is it's an e-commerce platform, a turnkey solution, so to speak, that gives you everything you need to start or add a subscription box business. When I say add, I mean add it to an existing business, because you may have like you may do e-commerce already and have products that you could actually offer on a subscription model, or you just want to add a subscription model to try and increase the lifetime value of a customer. So it could be good for that, and it's easy to kind of snap on using like services like Subly. So does that kind of give a nice summary of it?
Yeah, that was great. Absolutely. It helped me now, but I do have one question, which is, so if someone has like a consulting or coaching practice and they want to add a subscription model to it, like a member site, they're not necessarily going to send something, but they want people to be able to subscribe to, say, a daily email or something. Does Subly help, you know, do that as well? Or is it really for?
So at the moment, our core competency is physical products, but that's not to say that we do have a fair chunk of people signing up doing exactly what you just described and having like a membership portion and no physical product. You know, we're always exploring it, because our motto, I guess you could call it a motto, is making subscription simple. But right now our core competency is, you know, the physical aspect of the subscription models that are out there.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for this. I personally enjoyed this a lot, because it's sort of like light bulbs went off over my head about certain things about business, being a founder, you know, being a business owner, and keeping those parameters in place, and just these ideas of how do you do this, and the whole bootstrapping idea was really great. So thank you for offering that. I know that people listening, whether they already have a business or are thinking about starting one, now at least have that foundation, that ground floor for go do something, make some sort of investment, so then you feel compelled to continue forward. That was great.
Yeah, giving forcing yourself into a corner. It's surprisingly powerful.
I love that. Yep, it's awesome. I'm hanging on to that. That is really
good. I'm
terrific.
Glad.
And I'd like to thank the listeners and our sponsor. Remember to visit audibletrial.com/businessgrowth to sign up for a free trial and get a free audiobook when you do. And as always, continue to prosper and be curious. And until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.